Daniel 7:15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, which we can absolutely understand why. And he's going to repeat this in the last verse of this chapter, that this is very, very troubling. Well, all of the, here we have these kingdoms represented by these great beasts that are dreadful and horrific. And then this destruction, because we've got the scene from verses 9 and 10 of God's judgment. And then 11, like the Roman Empire, thrown into Gehenna. And so this is deeply troubling to Daniel. In verse 16, I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. So this one is not known who this is. But Kaufman said, this is obviously one of the angels or some heavenly being. And it's going to explain this vision to Daniel of what it means. So verse 17, those great beasts which are four kings. Now, it should be four kingdoms which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdoms and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. So these four great beasts are these four kingdoms that were the same four described in Daniel chapter 2, but the saints of the Most High will receive this kingdom that will last forever and ever, God's spiritual kingdom. Verse 19, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others. It was exceedingly dreadful with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns which were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. So he's wanting to know specifically about the Roman Empire, and then individually about this little horn that's speaking arrogant words. So we're going to find out more about that. Verse 21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints. So this little horn that came out of Rome was persecuting Christians and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, this is this heavenly being, whoever this one is that Daniel asked to explain this vision to him. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. And then Kaufman's comment on this about being different, it was, he mentioned, the only thing that he mentioned was that they brought a republic form of government, which is the kind of government that we have now, but it was different from all other governments up to that point. And so he thought that that might be what it was talking about, is the republic form of government. Verse 24, the ten horns are ten kings or ten kingdoms. Every time it says kings, the commentator said we should understand that as kingdoms, who shall rise from this kingdom. And so ten kingdoms came out of the Roman Empire once it was dissolved. and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first one. So this little horn, this kingdom that both of these commentators, Clark and Kaufman, were confident that this is Catholicism, was this little horn that came out of Rome that was different from any other earthly kingdom, earthly empire. It wasn't like it was different from a country. So that these are things of why this one was different. Catholicism was a different kind of a kingdom that came out. And it shall subdue three kings. And now we're going to get a more of a specific description of this little horn. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. So speak arrogant words against God. What they're about is nothing for God. It's against God. And then this little horn shall persecute the saints of the Most High. So be persecuting Christians, which we know in from history that this is what the Catholicism did. And shall intend to change times and law. Then the saint shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half of time. So I'll read. Last week I read what Kaufman had written about this little horn and this description. This week I'll read two paragraphs that Clark wrote, and I thought that he really did a better job than what Kaufman did, and gave a much fuller description about this. So he says, this doesn't apply so well or so fully except to Catholicism about this little horn. And then he has three things. First, they have assumed infallibility, which belongs only to God. Two, they profess to forgive sins, which belongs only to God. Number three, they profess to be higher than all of the kings of the earth, which only belongs to God. Catholicism persecuted Christians by wars, crusades, massacres, and inquisitions of all kinds. And then about this little horn changing the times and laws, Clark said that the Catholicism did this by appointing fast and feast, by picking and choosing whom they decide to call saints, by granting pardons and indulgences for sins, by instituting new evidences and instruments of worship completely unknown to the New Testament. They introduce new articles of faith, they introduce new rules of practice, and they reversing with pleasure the laws of God. So these were what they did historically to fulfill what God was prophetically giving in a vision to Daniel about these speaking these pompous words against God. They were going to persecute the Christians. They were going to change times and laws that God had established, and then they were going to persecute the Christians, and the saints were going to be given into the hand of this little horn. And then we finish up with these last two verses here, verse 26. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatest of the kingdoms under the whole of heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so this is a saying that God's kingdom is ultimately going to prevail, even though the individual member Christians will be persecuted through the time by this little horn. God's kingdom will be the victor in the end. And then this last verse 28, this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. And so this, we can understand how this is a very troubling vision. And he did not know exactly how to take all of this, but he kept it in his heart. And of course, he recorded all of this. And then, of course, he would have taught on this for the rest of his life. Now, Clark said at how he ended this chapter was that he really had sympathy with Daniel. And in fact, his thoughts of himself troubled him after he wrote this commentary on this chapter. And so he could understand why this really troubled Daniel, because he said it troubled him thinking of all of the persecution. Now, Clark was seeing this on the back end after all this persecution of Catholicism and all of these kingdoms being destroyed and all. He was seeing it on the back side of it, whereas Daniel was seeing on the front side before it all happened. And But Clark was a student of history, and he knew of all of the things, how this was fulfilled through history. And thinking of all that, he said that really troubled him too, just as it troubled Daniel seeing it before it all happened. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start with chapter 8 of Daniel next week.